So the person in our church who's being tended to is Jeff Peek, and I stepped out to call Deb, his wife, who was at home watching the service, and I didn't want Deb to hear his name before having a chance to talk with her on the phone, but as you noticed, Jeff was able to sit up and be wheeled out, and he seems to be doing well, but he's going to be checked on. So he's our volunteer treasurer in the church, so his concern was that all this attention that went to him might have caused us to forget to take the offering. So try to make sure he would rest assured we were taking care of business here. But would you join me as we just say a word of prayer right now for Jeff, for Deb and their family. Lord, we pray right now for the provision of your grace watching over Jeff. Thank you for the people within our congregation, doctors, nurses who came to tend to him, and for those who are caring for him now. We pray all is indeed well. Be with Deb as she travels to the hospital. Watch over and keep them strong in your care and in your favor. We lift them up before you. Now bless us as we give attention to your word and to its message to us this day. As we think about what is a fact of life facing transitions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to start this morning with my favorite Christmas movie. Although I don't know that it technically fits that category. It's The Family Man with Nicolas Cage. He plays this mega successful Wall Street playboy who believes he has everything he needs in life, or so he thinks. The movie starts in an airport with him saying goodbye to his college sweetheart. He's on his way to take a job in London he believes is going to launch his career toward the path of success and reaching his dreams in life. But the girlfriend begs him not to go. She fears if he takes that job, if he leaves, that that might be it for their relationships. And you get the sense, even though it's early in the movie, that this is a really defining moment. What he decides in this moment is going to shape the direction of his life and her life. He gets on the plane. And her fear came true. The next thing we know, it's years later. He is living his best life in New York City again, so he thinks, until he has a strange encounter one night with someone who appears to be a street person. Take a look at this scene.
Hey, What do you want to carry that gun around for anyway? You're just going to wind up doing something you regret.
Talking to the wrong person about regrets, Jack.
I mean, there must be programs out there and opportunities.
Wait a minute. Are you actually trying to save me? This is bananas. This man thinks I need to be saved, yo!
Everybody needs something.
Yeah? Well, what do you need, Jack?
Me.
You just said everybody needs something.
I got everything I need.
Wow. It must be great being you.
I'm not saying that you'd be able to do it without some hard work, some honest hard work, and possibly some medicine.
You know, I'm gonna really enjoy this. You just remember that you did this, Jack, okay? You brought this on yourself. Merry Christmas.
It's Jack. It's Christmas.
Jingle bells, Santa smells, Rudolph played a egg. La 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 la.
Oh,
la, 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 la.
Who's here?
Why is it shining? Don't you think we should open some presents?
I think maybe we should give Mom a hug.
Come on, Dad,
to bed.
Get up.
That'd be fun.
Can we do that? Yay! It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
Sister jumping
Let's
on
go
the
downstairs.
What is this dog doing on the bed? Lucy, get off this bed.
Santa come?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. We'll have to go deep.
Go see presents.
You want to get some presents? Just a minute. Mom
the
just
dog.
Needs to wake up.
Jack.
So the rest of this movie is about Jack getting to live this alternate life. I think what I like about that story is when this movie came out, my girls were the ages of those children at that time. And I thought, that's my life. I woke up one day and I married with these children. How did I get here? If you could go back to a moment in your life where you made a critical decision and have it over again, what would it be? Would it be a job you took? Would it be a promotion you turned down? Would it be a relationship choice? Would it be a move you made? And if you have a moment you wish you could go back and re-choose, here's a second question. Why? Do you believe that that different choice might have your life today in a better place? Those two questions, what would I choose differently and why, say a lot about us. And indirectly, they say a lot about our faith. Some years ago, a Mexican beer company ran a series of ads featuring the most interesting man in the world. Every ad had this string of ridiculous things he had done in his life, like he once parallel parked a train. If he mailed a letter with no postage, it would still arrive. Cuba imports cigars from him, the most interesting man in the world. Well, one of the commercials said his only regret in life was that he didn't know what regret feels like. Well, with all due respect to Dos Equis beer, I think there's an even deeper characteristic to being an interesting person and living an interesting life. It is to know what regret feels like and be able to live a full and well life anyway. We're in a series called Transitions. We started last week talking about forced transitions, changes we experience in life that we did not choose. They were forced on us. It obviously hit a nerve. I got a lot of feedback from so many of you saying, this is where I am in my life. This is what I'm going through. Many people saying, how do I experience more of God in my life right now with what I'm facing? One of the great ways to do that is to invest in our spiritual formation. The Upper Room in the United Methodist Church features regularly academies of spiritual formation. They offer different types depending on the commitment level and the time a person has to offer. Well, coming up here at St. Luke's in just a few weeks, Saturday, September the 24th, the Upper Room is going to present a kind of taste and see experience. You come for one day and you kind of get a taste of what a spiritual formation academy's like, and you can decide if you want to be a part of one in the future. Some of them last 5 days. Some of them go over the course of 2 years. You can go to the conference website, inumc.org, to register. Well, today, we're looking at a very different kind of transition. You could say it's almost an opposite kind of transition from last week. Rather than a forced transition in our lives, today we're thinking about the transitions that are a result of our choices. the changes we deliberately chose, the decisions we made. And like any transition, they're always going to have hiccups along the way. They're going to have obstacles and challenges. And when we face challenges as a result of our own decisions, it is very easy to second guess, to look back and to rethink, to what if life? What if I had stayed where I was? What if I had taken that opportunity when it came along? What does our faith have to say when we are tempted to second guess life? Well, let's go back to the journey of the Israelites in the wilderness. They had been in bondage 400 years. God answered their prayers and sent a deliverer, but it didn't make life easier. In fact, life got harder in many ways. And every time they hit an obstacle in this journey, they cried out why. They said, we would be better off if we had stayed in Egypt. In fact, we heard it again in today's scripture story. They actually have arrived at the edge of the promised land, their destination. They can see it. They send a reconnaissance team to go and spy out the land, and they come back and they tell everybody, oh my goodness, this place is better than we even dreamed of. It's incredible what is there. But there are people who live there, big people. And when the community hears that news, they wail and cry out. Listen again at what they say. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt became like a campaign of the children of Israel in the wilderness. Last week, we said that one of the problems is that they didn't bring closure to Egypt. They didn't say that that is the end of that chapter in our lives, and we can't go back. But there's another problem. They keep saying it because they're second-guessing their decision to trust God to get them to a better place. Now, in many regards, that's a natural thing to do. Whenever we make a decision that seems to not be getting us where we want to go, and it's full of hiccups and obstacles, it's just human to second guess. But we have to be careful, because we can dwell on regret to the point that it prolongs our stay in the wilderness. That's what happened to the Israelites. With the exception of Joshua and Caleb, no one who entered the wilderness entered the promised land. It is possible to what if and what if and what if away the life we have, that we don't live the life we can have. Now, part of the reason we do this, of course, is because we might believe that a right choice is going to be an easy path. That a right choice means life is just going to be easier because we've made this right choice. You could call this the tyranny of the perfect path. The belief that if I'm doing what God wants for me, things are going to clear up. If I take the right job, the job I believe God meant for me to take, I'm going to wake up every day and I'm not going to be able to wait to get to work because it is so life-giving and full of energy. If I marry the right person, then my spouse is going to be somebody for whom it is easy to love them every day. If I buy the right house, I'm not going to have to worry about cracks in the foundation or needing to replace the roof. If it's the right choice, then it's going to be easy. And if uneasy comes along, must have made the wrong choice. Now, this is the sermon I need to hear in this series. These are confessions of a chronic second guesser. I tend to second guess everything. If I buy something, I will second guess if I shouldn't have waited a little longer and maybe found it on sale somewhere. I could have gotten a better deal. I can cook a meal and second guess if I use the right recipe. I second guess every sermon. Oh, I should have used this illustration. I shouldn't have used this one. It's just crazy. One time, Susan and I were in the car. And I was driving, and the interstate came to a standstill. We were on our way back to Indianapolis. We were on I-65 coming north. And Susan looked on the GPS on her phone. She said, well, it looks like it's going to be like this for a few miles, but then it seems to clear up. Well, standstill traffic for me is torture. So I said, you know what? We're getting off on this exit right here. We're going to detour our way around this. So we got off on the detour, and sure enough, we were clear and free on a country road, no cars around, and then we had to make a turn. And when we turned, huge sign blocking the road, closed, road under repair. So now, got to make a detour in the detour that led to more detours. It probably took us 45 minutes longer to get home than had we just stayed on the interstate. And the entire trip, I kept bemoaning my decision. I knew I should have stayed on the interstate. I should have never turned off. I should have never gone this way the whole time. We pull in the driveway. Susan said, you're probably right. But we also could have had a nice drive through the beautiful countryside. The woman just doesn't get it. It is easy to want the right choice to be an easier choice. But you know what? If you're on a road that does not have any traffic and never needs any repair, chances are it is a road that's not going anywhere significant. A significant road is going to have standstills sometimes. A significant road is sometimes going to have detours and challenges and obstacles. What road are you on right now in your life? Is the road that you're on in your life right now taking you to significance or to satisfaction? The Israelites in the wilderness thought they were on the road to satisfaction, that they were going to a promised land that was going to promise an easy life, a comfortable life, providing everything they would need. Their hardships would forever be done, and they didn't realize God had them on a road to significance where God would want to use them. In John Ortberg's book, All the Places to Go, he says, it's better to go through the wrong door with your best self than the best door with your wrong self. His point is that when you focus on significance in life, on doing things that matter and have purpose and meaning, and for spiritual people, being usable by God, to God, there's never a wrong choice, really. There's never a wrong transition. Because what you understand is, it doesn't matter where you are and what course of events brought you to where your life is. Wherever you are right now is a usable place. You remember Paul in prison in Philippi? Paul went to Philippi because he had a dream in which he felt God was telling him, I want you to go to Greece. So he does. The first city he comes to is Philippi. But in Philippi, he's wrongly accused and he's beaten and he's put in jail. It's midnight. And he and his traveling companion, Silas, are chained to a wall. Now, if you were in that situation, what might you be talking about? Confessions of a chronic second guesser. I would be saying to Silas, this was your fault. We should have never come here. And Silas would probably say, no, it isn't. You're the one who had the sign from God. And then I'd be going, what did I miss? What did I get? Was it just indigestion going on that I felt like God was talking to me? Yeah, let's go to Greece. We're going to have a great time. This is ridiculous. We should have never come here. But not Paul and Silas. They're singing hymns of praise. And as they're singing, an earthquake happens. And the door of the prison falls open. And their chains fall off. We'll talk about an answer to prayer and a clear path. What should I do now? Walk out the door. This is the path to freedom. This is the path to satisfaction. Get out of this place. But Paul doesn't do that. He not only stays in the prison, he convinces all of the prisoners to stay. Why? Because Paul's not focused on his satisfaction. He's focused on significance, believing that even in a prison, God can use him. And he sees the jailer about to take his life. Because the jailer knows if these people go free on his watch, he's going to be held accountable. And Paul stops him. He says, we're all here. Nobody's gone anywhere. Don't do this. And he shares his faith with the jailer. And that night, the jailer and his family are baptized. A life was literally saved because Paul focused on significance. Who are people in your world who are affected on your choice of living for significance or satisfaction? A couple of weeks ago, one of my theological heroes passed away, Frederick Buechner. In his book, The Sacred Journey, he writes, "To journey for the sake of saving our own lives is little by little to cease to live in any sense that really matters, even to ourselves. Because it is only by journeying for the world's sake, even when the world bores and sickens and scares you half to death, that little by little we start to come alive." I want you just to look at those words for a moment, because they are really worth pondering on long and hard. It's much like what Jesus said. Those who want to save their life will lose it. When we focus on our own life and the satisfaction we want to get out of life and the places of arrival we believe are going to bring us the reward that we have coming to us, the meaning that we want to have, whatever the dream is, if the dream is about us and we get frustrated along the way that our choices are not getting us there, that we're second guessing our path, we lose life. We lose energy for living. We lose focus on the life we're living right now. Mike Krzyzewski, also known as Coach K, retired last year from coaching men's basketball at Duke University. And I know, because many of you know I'm a Duke fan, you groan when I bring up Coach K, but he was, after all, the greatest basketball coach who ever lived. I can't believe I did not get any boos or hisses out of that. That's the St. Luke's I know and love. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, quick story about Coach K. He has a two-word expression when players make a mistake on the court. When somebody goofs up and it's in a game, and they're tempted to just like stomp the floor over their mistake or to walk around and look at their teammates and go, my bad, my bad. He said, no, say next play. And he has a whole team shout it out, next play. Because if you walk around berating yourself for the mistake you made, you're going to allow the mistake to grow. you're not going to give your best for the next play. Focused on the next play, on the life that you're living right now, and stay in the game because you've still got a game to play. That is what the Israelites had to learn in the wilderness. Their path wasn't about their satisfaction. It was about their significance. It was about their journey to a life of meaning where they would be usable by God. And everything along the way in this path that they thought were obstacles to their arrival, things that were getting in the way, making them second guess and second guess and second guess, were all things God was using to form them and shape them and make them more usable. There were no mistakes. There's no sense in looking back with regret. When we understand that our lives are made to love, honor, and serve God, then we never want to go backward. So let's go back to Jack in our movie. Jack now has the opportunity to live as if he had a do-over in a very important decision years before. What if he had married that woman? What if he would have settled down and had a family with her and had been a husband and a dad? What would life look like? And he gets to live this out in the movie as he gradually, bit by bit, comes to accept it. But then one day discovers another opportunity. He gets to live this other dream too and get a job on Wall Street and be that successful person. And so he shares this dream with his wife, this place in Manhattan where they could live, things they would have never dreamed that they could afford in their lives. Yes, we can now. For Jack, he gets to have both dreams. Both can come true. But that's not the dream of the woman he loves. Watch this scene.
Maybe I was being naive, but I believed that we would grow old together in this house. That we'd spend holidays here and have our grandchildren come visit us here. I had this image of us all gray and wrinkly, and me working in the garden and you repainting the deck. But things change. If you need this, Jack, if you really need this, I will take these kids from a life they love, and I'll take myself from the only home we've ever shared together, and I'll move wherever you need to go. I'll do that because I love you. I love you, and that's more important to me than our address. I choose us.
I choose us. Jack gets to have the experience of looking back on his life and regretting something. Regretting a choice that didn't lead to the dream that he was getting to experience as a dream. He'll wake up. If you've watched the movie, you know how it ends. And if you haven't, I won't spoil it for you. But the whole experience changes his dream for life itself. And that's when you can have a regret in your life that turns out to be for a good reason. A regret that changes our own hearts and our souls and our spirits with a new desire to keep living, but maybe for different reasons, reasons that are not just about us. but the difference our lives can make for other people. Paul in 2 Corinthians calls that godly regret. Worldly regret just wants you to feel bad for the sake of feeling worse about your life, but godly regret, now it gets you to a better place. It gets you to a place where you say, that's what I really want to live for. I think it's interesting that this movie is cast at Christmas time. It didn't have to be for what the purpose and the point of the movie is. It didn't have to be Christmas time, but it is. Do you remember the opening scene when they're standing on the street? There's a cross on the building above them. This movie is subtly making a point that our lives are bigger than the scripts we're living. Our lives are bigger than our own narrative. And Christmas is about a God who comes down and says to us, I choose you. God wants you to know that today. God wants you to believe, I choose you. But even bigger than that, God wants to use you to be a part of that message for others that they are chosen. If you're second-guessing your life today, if you're ever tempted to get stuck in the mud on your own regrets, then maybe try this. Try focusing on something that will make you think about others and their needs and the gift that you can be for other people. There are several ways we can do that right here at St. Luke's right now. One is helping in our kids' ministry. Amy Bowles could really use your help. We need volunteers in children's ministry like never before. We had to cut off registration for Vacation Bible School this summer because we didn't have enough volunteers. We could have perhaps had several hundred more kids. We need volunteers. Maybe you would say, hey, I can give some time to kids' ministry. Contact Amy. She would love to talk to you about the different needs they have. Another is our upcoming Love My City Day, September the 17th. Shelley Clausen, this is an announcement for us, is our brand new, officially brand new, director of outreach here. And you'll find her roaming the hallways outside. She would love to talk with you about ministry opportunities to serve on the I Love My City Day on the 17th. One more way. You know, this December, we're going to be moving into the former Broad Ripple United Methodist Church as St. Luke's Midtown. And Mindy Moore, who's going to be the campus pastor, works with a team of people every week. They are going in renovating the building, and they need more workers. And if you have some time and you don't mind getting dirty and doing some work in that building, Mindy would love to talk with you. Just contact Mindy and say, what are you guys doing? When do you need somebody? Let me see if I can help. Those might be a few things you do that just remind you life is found not when we just sit and dwell on the mistakes we made and the decisions that didn't get us to a better life, and we discover, no, right now God can use me, and life begins to come alive again. The Israelites were called the chosen people. That's not because they were better people. It's because they were chosen for a purpose and a reason. God wants you to know this day. You are chosen too. Amen.